I'm Mandy Jordan. Welcome to Inside the Blanket Fort, a weekly update from SIU Press, the scholarly book publishing unit of SIU. In our last episode, we wrapped up our exploration of the patriotic titles the press celebrated as part of our America 250 theme, from poetry to history and beyond. This week, we'll be taking a look at one of the press's recent releases and part of the Illinois Lives memoir series, When Lambs Become Wolves, The Chilling Case of Sheila Von Wiesmack, by retired Sergeant Rasul T. Freelane. On August 12, 2014, the body of 62-year-old Sheila Von Wiesmack, the wealthy Oak Park, Illinois widow of famed composer James L. Mack, was found stuffed inside a suitcase in the trunk of a taxi in Bali. Back in the Midwest, listening to the radio, Sergeant Rasul Freelane pulled his car over to absorb the unthinkable news. Amid his shock, one coherent thought surfaced. Heather did this. Freelane had met the Macks more than 3 years earlier, when Sheila first reached out for help with her increasingly volatile daughter. Although Heather Mack was just a teenager, she had already displayed a disturbing pattern of escalating violence. Freelane did everything he could to intervene. But as the abuse worsened, he found himself sidelined by a justice system unprepared to deal with child-to-parent violence and abuse, CPVA. In this gripping and empathetic memoir, Freelane traces the Mack family's descent from privilege to tragedy, bringing overdue attention to CPVA as a critical yet overlooked public health crisis. He recounts the glamorous but troubled world of the Macks, the parties, the talent, the dysfunction, and his efforts to support both mother and daughter. With rare insight into the web of trauma, race, wealth, and grief that surrounded them, he shows how the system failed them both, and how, even after Sheila's death, he remained committed to seeking justice and change. While media coverage fixated on the exotic setting and shocking brutality of the crime, along with the growing notoriety of the teenage killer, Freelane urges readers and institutions in law enforcement, child welfare, and mental health to focus instead on those harmed. Sheila was more than a victim. She was a sharp, compassionate, creative woman who loved her daughter to the very end. Through meticulous research and raw personal reflection, Freelane explores how abuse cycles form, how institutions look away, and what it means to try and fail to protect someone in crisis. This memoir, with a foreword by Sheila's brother William Weiss, is a call to action, offering a rare blend of true crime, compassion, and advocacy. This deeply human account of a police officer caught in an impossible situation shows the price of ignoring the violence that starts at home. In an excerpt from When Lambs Become Wolves that was recently featured in Newsweek, Freelane describes the pivotal moment when Sheila, years before her death, agreed to cooperate with her daughter Heather's arrest. The fading winter sun descended into twilight as I drove towards Sheila Von Wiesmack's home near the west side of Chicago. Despite a blast of sub-zero temperatures and a recent blizzard that had buried the city in nearly 2 feet of snow days earlier, the weather had unexpectedly warmed and, like Sheila, was cooperating. It had taken quite a bit to convince the widow of famed composer James L. Mack to finally stand up to her abusive 15-year-old daughter, Heather Mack. But a broken arm had finally opened the victim's eyes to a disturbing reality. The girl's dangerous pattern of threatening, punching, and beating her mother was now completely out of control. As I drove, I rolled down the front windows of the blue, unmarked Crown Victoria and breathed in the evening's fresh air. What a difference a day can make, I thought. Finally, Sheila and I stopped our vehicles in front of a 6,000-foot mansion on Linden Avenue that featured impressive mustard-colored brick construction, a green clay tile roof, and limestone accents. As we entered the front door of the home, I observed the room to my right appeared to be a chaotic space that doubled as the family's dining room. All the chairs had been knocked onto their sides. Pieces of broken dishes were scattered across a table. Crumpled papers and what appeared to be a wadded-up bedsheet were clumped in a pile against a wall. As I surveyed the damage, my instincts told me there was more in the next room. I turned to my left, stepped through an open archway into a large living room, and stopped dead in my tracks. This was ground zero. A large wooden shelf was resting on its face in the middle of the floor, with books and various decorative items scattered helter-skelter and pinned beneath it. Splinters and specks of broken glass and larger razor-sharp chunks reflected across the carpet. Broken picture frames lay in an uneven trail on the floor, stretching for several feet as if a small tornado had snatched each portrait and indiscriminately decided its fate. In the middle of all the destruction was a small framed girl in a red sweater, her curly dark brown hair pulled back into a ponytail. She was looking away from the door and fumbling with an object that appeared to be a cell phone. "Police," I announced. Heather's thin arms and shoulders flinched in unison as she twisted around quickly in her seat and looked at me, wide-eyed. "It's Detective Freelane," I started to say before she interrupted in a melodramatic tone and claimed I had no right to be inside her house. "Actually, I can be here because your mother invited me here. She unlocked the door for me," I replied calmly. She stood up and scowled at Sheila while the victim remained silent in the hallway behind me. "I need you to sit back down," I instructed. Heather shot me a defiant look, prompting me to rephrase my directive. "Take a seat," I said bluntly. She complied begrudgingly, barely sitting down on the edge of the chair. I was relieved to hear my female backup officer announce over my shoulder mic that she was pulling up outside. She would be available if Heather tried to rabbit, or even worse, physically confront Sheila. I got straight to the point. "Listen, your mother has told me that some pretty bad things have been happening, and we have evidence that you've been hurting her. So here's the deal. You're coming with me to the police station, period, and you'll have a chance to give me your side of the story if you choose. Heather immediately sprang to her feet and began screaming at her mother for contacting the police. I decided the conversation was over as she approached the doorway where Sheila and I stood. Stop. Stop right there. That's it. You are under arrest for domestic battery, I said while stepping forward and continuing to give stern directives. I need you to turn around and put your hands behind your back. She froze as I reached forward and grabbed her left wrist. As I carefully placed it behind her back, Heather kept her opposite arm at her side. The teen accused her mother of overreacting while spontaneously admitting she had caused the extensive property damage inside the family's home that day. Put your hands behind your back, I ordered. This time, Heather complied. You can buy your own copy of When Lambs Become Wolves, The Chilling Case of Sheila Von Weiss-Mack from our website at siupress.com. Join us next week to hear about another great new entry in the Illinois Lives Memoir series. That's all we have time for today. This is Mandy Jordan from SIU Press, encouraging everyone to make your own blanket fort and tell a story.